So let's start then. Fine. So if you remember a while ago, we dealt with, right, when we were dealing with the understanding of the Yerushalmi as to Zichron Trua, so we noted that the Bavli, at least the simple understanding, we raised some other understandings, doesn't seem to, in the end of the day, buy the Yerushalmi's understanding that Zichron Trua reflects a fundamentally different type of Rosh Hashanah than Rosh Hashanah on Chol and Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat. But the Bavli never explains what it thinks that the words Zichron Trua actually mean, right? In its final analysis, right? In its Hava Amina, it understood it like the Yerushalmi, that there's a fundamental difference between Rosh Hashanah that falls during the week and Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbat. But by the end of that, it seems to have rejected that notion, unless, you know, you take one of the hybrid positions that Zichron Trua means that you don't have to blow the shofar, and then the Gzeir of Rabbah tells you that you shouldn't, or something like that. But again, the simple understanding is that it just rejects it. So we briefly got into the question, okay, well, what does Zichron Trua mean? And we saw that there are, if you remember, right, how did Rashi understand the phrase Zichron Trua?
As the Pesukim.
Right. So you can, I mean, take it away, Gavi.
Zichron, Pesukei Zichron, not Pesukei Gavra. So Zichron is the Pesukim about Zichron, and the Pesukim of Shofra. Zichron Lecha Makeda Yitzchak, Shofra of Tachat Tachabayo. To remind you of Akeda Yitzchak when Avraham brought the
ayah instead. Right. So Rashi says that basically the Havamina, the Bavli, the Maskana of the Yerushalmi is that Yom Trua reflects a day on which you blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Zichron Trua reflects a day in which you talk about shofar, meaning that Trua or Yom Trua is an either or scenario. And Rashi seems to say that no, Rosh Hashanah is both Yom Trua, you know, and Yom Zichron Trua simultaneously, right? It's an and. And specifically, Rashi says that the Trua reflects the blowing of the shofar, and Zichron Trua reflects the recitation of the psukim that accompany the blowing of the shofar. The implication of Rashi is that the recitation of these psukim is d'oraita, is biblical. And when we looked at it the first time, the main, probably most vocal critic of this position of Rashi, that the words Zichron Trua mean that you should say psukim about the shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah, was the Ramban. So let me just close my WhatsApp because it's beeping and it's annoying. Right, was the Ramban. What is the Ramban? What does the Ramban say? Right, the Ramban, if you remember, let's see if you remember, or just take it up from the, come on, share. There we go. Right, so what does the Ramban say?
Ramban.
Take it away, either of you. Go ahead.
So Zichron Trua. So Suke Zichronos, Suke Shofaros. This core lefem, Akedis Yitzhak, right? Shekaro Takto. Ayo, Rashi. So it quotes Rashi saying that the reason is because of the ayo that was brought instead, is right. V'hayot sarif harav, v'havi gam b'suke hamalchios. Right, that he needs to also, he should bring sukkim of malchios.
Right. So first, right, the first problem the Ramban has is once you're talking the sukkim, why do you identify only zichronot and shofarot and not malchios? Because as we know, we say all three. Right, that's his first, right, critique. Right, that's Ramban's first critique. Okay.
Right. Midrash shelo yisakein shigizkor hakasa psukei hazifronos hazifronos the shofar rose, the lo yizkor ha-malchios. So it's from the midrash, right? That shelo yizaken, that it's not like fixed.
Is that possible, right? Lo yitachen in modern Hebrew also it means it's not possible. Right.
That you should right. You should remember the pasuk of Zichronos and Shofaros and not remember the pasuk of or not sorry not remember Malchios. Ukvar darshu otam may pasuk but lechem zikaron.
The zikaron.
The zikaron lifnei Hashem alokeita. Zikaron rather lifnei Hashem alokeita. So and it was already Doresh, it was already explained. It already explained them from the pasuk of Vayudlechem, and it should be your remembrance before that. That it didn't teach you Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right? How does that?
Right. I mean, what does that tell you? Right? Uma Talmud Lomar Ani Hashem Elokeichem. What does this add? Right, so Ella.
Right, Ella. Right, Ella is at binyan av. Right, koma. Right, it's the binyan av, meaning it's a.
It's teaching as a universal rule, right? A generalizable principle, meaning that kol makom shata omer zechronot ata somech lemed amalchiot. That whenever you say zechronot, you must have malchiot. So first question Ramban has is, you should say all of them. Okay, fine. But his bigger problem is that Rashi implies that the recitation of the psukim of Malchiot or Zechronot or Shofarot is biblical, and the Ramban says, right, his main critique is Aval
told Zeh Asmachta Asmachta.
Right, it's only rabbinic. Right, it's only Asmachta. That's not what the pasuk means. Yeah, and what's his proof?
Meaning when he's saying it's in the smacha, what exactly he's talking about?
He's saying the pasuk that we'll see that the Gemara invokes in Rosh Hashanah that you're supposed to say psukim of Malchiot, Zechronot, and Shofarot, that can't actually be the drasha. That can't actually mean what the pasuk means. It can't be biblical. What's his proof? How does he know it's only rabbinic? So the answer is Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled. Which is
right? Because, right. What we say is derabbanan.
Right.
The hokum the pian aim from the makom mishmavarchin. Right. That you should go to where they're blowing the shofar. And the prelude to this is that you only have the option to go to one, but you should go to the place where they're blowing and not where the place
exactly.
Where
right. Meaning the Gemara explicitly puts a competition between them. Is if I only have a choice to do one. So, meaning, go to a place where they're davening and say the psukim, or go to a place where there's a shofar and hear the shofar. The Gemara says, go to the shofar, and says very explicitly, because one is d'oraita and one is d'rabbanan.
Right.
Right? So the Ramban says, right? Because pshita ha d'oraita ha d'rabbanan. And then the Gemara's answer was, l'tricha da'afa gav da'avat ayah sofik. That the case is where you're not sure if you're going to catch shofar blowing, even if you go to the place where you think there's a shofar, but you know that you'll catch davening. So then you might have thought that if I'm not sure I'm going to get shofar, I might as well catch davening for sure. And the Gemara answers that's not true. Right? You should always try for the d'oraita. Okay?
Right.
So then how does the Ramban understand the word zichron trua?
Right. Of a zichron trua, kmo yom trua yeletan. It's like, or I guess where it operates the same as Yom Tru Yinam. Yomar Shinir Shinriya Biyom Azeh Vihiyelam Zicharon Mitne Hashem Mushna Marlah.
Right, so it says, right, what does Zichron Tshuva tell us according to Ramban?
How does that word
read? Shinaria? Shinaria, that you should say a trua, meaning you should blow the shofar.
You should blow on this day, and it will be a zikr, it will be a remembrance for you before Hashem, right? Like it says over there, that you should blow the trumpets and of your remembrance before Hashem. Right?
Simchatem. Right. So the Ramban says, what is Trua? Yom Trua means blow the shofar. What does Yom Zichron Trua mean?
Remember.
Meaning, it's not what you do, it's what the result of the Trua will be. If you blow the shofar, then God will remember you. Right? And therefore, they're both true. Okay. So what I want to focus on is this question. The saying, the psukim of Malchiot, Zichronin, and Shofarot, is that biblical or is it rabbinic? Right? Rashi seems to stake out the position that it's biblical, and as we'll see, he does that in other places as well. And the Ramban stakes out the position that it's rabbinic. And what we need to do is figure out, well, why do they say what they say? And, right, as we'll see, it's not so clear because different passages in the Gemara imply different things. And what we need to do is defend, well, both of them. Right, we need to figure out how the Ramban reads all three relevant Gemaras and how Rashi defends all three relevant Gemaras and what that tells us about the nature of the obligation to say the psukim of Malchiot, Zichrono, and Shofarot. So let's start with the of the three Gemaras that we'll see, the one that the Ramban takes as his primary proof. Right, his proof that saying the psukim is only derabanan, right, and that's the Gemara and Lamed Daled Amud Beis that we already hinted at, but let's see it inside. Okay, so right, the Gemara there says, right, Tanya Nami Achi Kishu Shoman Shoman Al Seder. When you hear the shofar, you hear it in order. Val Seder Abrachot, and in order of the brachot, by Medvar Mamurim Bechaver Ir. That's if you're in a minyan. If you're not in a minyan, you can hear them out of order. Okay. Brachot, the yachid shlo taka, chavir tokeelo. If you don't blow a shofar, someone can blow for you. The yachid shlo berach, ein chavir mevarach alav. But your friend can make the bracha for you. Okay. Umitzvah bitoken yoter mina mevarachin. And here's the key line for the Ramban. The mitzvah of blowing the shofar is greater than that of the brachot, which include Malchiot, the psukim of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofar. And then the Gemara tells you, Ketzad, what's the case? Shtei Ayarot, if you have two cities, Ba'achat Token, in one place they're blowing the Shofar, Uba'achat Mivarchit, and in one place they are davening. Holchin l'makom shetokin, ve'in holchin l'makom shemivarchin. If you have to choose, again, the assumption here is presumably you don't know the psukim, so you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah yourself, and you can't blow shofar, so it's you have to go somewhere. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, pshita, obviously go to the place where they're blowing the shofar. Ha-da-ra-ita va-ha-da-ra-banan. Because blowing the shofar is biblical, and saying the psukim is derabanan. So the Gemara answers, lo shricha da'aval gav da'avadai v'ha-safek. It's a case where you know that you'll manage to catch davening, but you don't know if you'll catch shofar. So the Gemara is telling you that since shofar is biblical, even though it's only doubtful that you'll catch the shofar, it's better to doubtfully catch the shofar than vadai catch davening with the psukim. And this is the Ramban's main proof. Right? This is the Ramban's main proof. Is look, you got an explicit Gemara. Not only does it say that shofar blowing is d'oraita and saying the psukim is d'rabanan, it puts a conflict between them and makes it very clear. Right, shofar higher on the hierarchy than the psukim because one is biblical and one is rabbinic. It's very hard to read this Gemara any other way, and that's the Ramban's central proof. Right, that is the Ramban's central proof. So now let's defend Rashi. Okay, Rashi is a bit more complicated, but why does Rashi think that the recitation of the psukim, that davening essentially on Rosh Hashanah, is biblical? Right, what would drive Rashi to stake out that position? Okay, so there are two Gemaras that might do it, and once we see all three Gemaras, then we've got to explain all three according to the Ramban and all three according to Rashi to stake out basically these two representative positions in the Rishonim. Okay, so Gavi, why don't you take Rosh Hashanah Tetzai?
So why did the Torah say to do Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot? So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisuch HaMayim B'Chag, Kedei She'Yitrachu Lachan Gishmei Shana. So do Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot in order to have the bracha of rain during the year. Zamru Nisuch HaMayim and say in front of the Shofra, Malchuyo today to say Malchuyo in order to coronate me upon you. Zifrana today Shayala, Zifrana in order to have your remembrance in front of me for good.
Good. So for now, we're going to bracket the Ramban's first question, which is, why does Rashi only mend Zichronot and Shofrot and not Malchiot? Let's, for the moment, treat all the Psukim as one. Okay? So, this Gemara, what does it sound like? Is the saying of the Psukim Doraita or Derabanan?
Depends how you treat the...
Okay, good. So let's start with the simple one, right? It clearly says that Umra Torah, meaning, okay, let's... What in this passage would push us in the direction that saying the Pesukim is biblical? Right, there the answer is obvious. Umra Torah. Right, it says, the Torah says. Right, so if Rashi wants a place that says... So it sounds like the framing for these two sentences, right? Why does the Torah say to do this, right? So the Torah tells you to do Nisuch HaMayim, and the Torah tells you to say the Psukim Rosh Hashanah. So if you want to look at this unit and say it supports the notion that saying the Psukim is fundamental to Rosh Hashanah, it's biblical, the support would simply be the words Amra Torah, the Torah said, which sounds biblical, right? Sounds biblical. Okay, so let's... So here, it's a check for Rashi. There's an easy way to read this in accordance with Rashi. How is the Ramban going to defend himself and say, no, it's not Doraita?
I mean, I would assume because it's not a pasuk.
Right, so first of all, he'll note, it doesn't actually quote a pasuk, right? It doesn't quote a pasuk. Right? So that's good. Which that already is good reason to believe that Umra Torah might be a looser statement than it sounds like at first glance. Right? Because Umra Torah, give me a pasuk. It doesn't give me a pasuk. The Torah says. Whatever that means. Right? Or the Ramban will say, as he actually says, which is Asmachta. Right? Even if you can find me a pasuk, and the pasuk is, let's say, Zichron Trua. So just say it's an Asmachta. Big deal. It's not actually pshat. And the third point, which Gavi said to me before on WhatsApp, which is, right, what's the third possible out for the Ramban here?
That this isn't really based in a Doraita, just because it says it in a Gadik.
Right, the third is that the whole passage is a Gadik. So, right, it's one thing to write off a phrase in a halachic sounding Gemara, where it quotes a pasuk. So then you'd have to really go for asmachta. Here you may not even need to go that far. You could just say, whatever. It's an agadic statement. It's an agadic passage. In an agadic passage, the language can be much looser. Right? Because it's not making a halachic point. It's making a hashkafic point. It's making a philosophical point. It's making a philosophical point. So the language, don't be married to the formal sounding language. It's not a formal passage to begin with. It's an agadic passage. It's making a point. It's telling you what you should be thinking about on Rosh Hashanah. Good. So the support here for Rashi is that it says Amra Torah. But this is easily parried by the Ramban. Because maybe Amra Torah doesn't mean Amra Torah. There is no pasuk it's quoting. It's an agadic passage. Doesn't bother me so much. Okay. The bigger problem for the Ramban, and this is the one that really supports Rashi, is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Bet. Right? And this is where things really get tricky. Okay? So let's see the Gemara on Lamed Bet. Well, Yoda, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. All right. So Seder Brachos, the order of Brachos, right? For the Rosh Hashanah, the Tefillah.
Right. This is Rosh Hashanah Musaf.
Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Right. Omer Avos and Uros with the Dusha Hashem. So you start off with the first three Brachos. Kola Machios Imam, and you include Machios with them, right? The Eino Tokia, you don't blow the shofar after it. Kedusha Sayom, the Tokia, you say Kedusha Sayom, and you blow the shofar. The Chronos, the Tokia, you do the Chronos, and you blow the shofar. And the Shofaros, the other part of the the shofaros and the Eino of the Omer Avoda Goda Birchas Kohanim Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Amar Lo.
Right. So, and then you say the three last bracha, right? That's Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. Okay.
Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva Im Eino Tokiyah the Mafios Lamehu Masker. If you don't blow by the Mafios, by the initial Mafios, why are you remembered? Meaning those are supposed to go hand in hand, right?
Good.
Right. Ella Omer, so what does he say to do? Ella Omer, Avos Uros Kedushas Hashem, Kula Mafios Im Kedushas Hayom. Say the first three, and then
right, include Malchiot in Kedushas Hayom in the fourth bracha, and blow the shofar. That's what we do, right?
Right. Then the Chorus of the Kia, Shorus of the Kia, the Omer of the Right, exactly, and that's what we do.
Right. So now the Gemara picks up on a very strange phrase of Rabbi Kiva. Right? Rabbi Kiva said in the Mishnah, "In Eino Tokeya Lamalchiot Lamalo Maskir." If you're not blowing the shofar, so why do you, for Malchiot? So why do you say the Psukim of Malchiot? Okay. So here, Rabbi Kiva. The Gemara picks up and says, Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, yeah.
Amar lo Rabbi Kiva, Imer Kiva Mafios, Lamehu Masker, right? So Lamehu Masker repeats it. Amar, it's my doctor. The Torah says that you should remember, right? Ella Lama Esther. So rather, why 10 brachos?
Right, right, right.
Patricia, why not have 9?
Right.
One is different. I just want to go on point.
Right, good. So here's the problem. What does Rabbi Kiva seem to say? Rabbi Kiva says, right, the Gemara says, if you're not going to blow shofar, so don't bother saying the psukim. And the Gemara says, what do you mean don't say the psukim? How could you not say the psukim of Malchiot? Rachmana Amar Ikar, the Torah says, say the psukim. Right? The Torah says, say the psukim. So you can't ever not say the psukim. And the Gemara buys it and says, you're right. No one ever said don't say the psukim. They said you don't have to say as many psukim. But the fact that you're going to say the psukim is indeed a given. Right? And here the Gemara uses Rachmana Idkar. Right? And Rashi takes it as obvious. Right? Rachmana Idkar, Kedetanya, right? Come on. Yeah. It is. The Torah said, mention it. Right? As it says later on. Right? Where does it say it?
In the prayer that we read before.
Right? So, continue. Right? In the continuation, right? It says Idkar. So, right here. Right, Rashi has yet another case where the Gemara seems to say that the saying of Psukim is Deoraita. Right? It said, and this time it's not in a Hashkafic context as much, it's in a right, it's in Halachic context. Right? It's in Halachic context. Sorry. I should have given you the next line in the Gemara, so I'm going to give you the next line in the Gemara now. Right? I thought I did, but here we go. right? And he says, the next line in the Gemara is, Uminayin sha'omrim malchiyot zichronot in shofarot, Rabbi Elazar Omer, dichtiv, Shabbaton zichron shrua mikra kodesh, Shabbaton kedushat hayom, zichron elu zichronot, trua elu shofarot, mikra kodesh, kacheo basiyat melacha. Because, and the next line in the Gemara is, where, how do you know you say Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot? Because the Pasuk says, Zichron, Trua. Right? And Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Mipnei Malo Nemar Shabbaton, Shvot, etc. Okay? And then he says, Minayin Shomrim Malchiot. How do you say Malchiot? Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. V'chodesh Hashvi, Zu Malchut. So you see then the continuation of the Gemara in fact quotes Psukim for all of the, for saying all the Psukim. But by the way, this is the answer to the Ramban. Why does Rashi not think that you derive Malchiot from Zichron Trua? Right? Because he does think it's D'oraita, he just thinks it comes from another Pasuk. Right? The Zichronot and Shofarot come from Zichron Trua, and Malchiot comes from Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right, Bechodesh, right, from a different pasuk. So they're all daraita, but from different psukim. And that's how Rashi reads it. So now we got to deal with the question of, okay, so I should just add it here. So it's here. One second. So I'll do this. 6 through 8 here. Okay. So what will the Ramban have to do to defend this? Right now we have a pasuk, and it sounds like a halachic context. So what's the Ramban going to do to defend? Right, to defend himself. Yeah, that's machta. Right. So in the end of the day, the answer for the Ramban, for every counterproof in the Gemara is asmachta, asmachta, asmachta. Right? Is you're right. It says Amra Torah, it says it karachmana, but, and why do you think the Ramban gives gives the most weight to the Gemara on Lamed Daled? Right, why? Right, we have two Gemaras that could easily be read as saying there is a biblical mitzvah. And the second one even quotes Psukim. But why does the Ramban give prime halachic weight to the Gemara on Lamed Daled? Right, what motivates the Ramban to read both Dav Tet Zayin and Lamed Bet as an asmachta?
Because the right on the Daled says that it's Derabanan.
So first of all, right, the Gemara there says Derabanan quite explicitly, and therefore, once you have a Gemara that says explicitly it's Derabanan, so then you have to reread the other Gemara in light of that, right? And what's, I think, the second thing that's motivating the Ramban?
It doesn't stop citing an exact pasuk as well. The Torah says this.
Right, so that's true on Dav Tet Zayin. On Lamed Bet, it quotes a pasuk. But what is really for the Ramban, besides the fact that it says Derabanan, which is already pretty good, right? The Gemara on Lamed Daled does something else that the other two Gemara don't do, which is it has a halachic nafkamina, meaning it says, because this is only Derabanan, and that is Daraita. I mean, because saying the Pesukim is only Derabanan and blowing the shofar is Daraita, this is what that tells you, Lema'aseh. Right? Practically, it gives you a halachic implication. You can't read off a halachic implication as an asmachta. Right? There's a consequence to calling it Derabanan in that sugya, which is, right, the consequence of it in that sugya is try to hear the blowing of the shofar, even in a case where it's only a suffix, rather than say the Pesukim. So there's a nafkamina to calling it Derabanan. It's not just that it calls it Derabanan. There are consequences. And therefore, the Ramban, I think, for that reason alone, is very comfortable reading all the other sugyot as asmachtas derabbanans. And I gave you just here the Tureyevin, who's basically summarizing many of the Svarim Rishonim, like the Ran, but he was on Svarim, so it was easy just to add, where he says, Lav Dafka. And therefore, every time he says the Torah said, he doesn't mean it. De'enan elami derabbanan. Proof? The Gemara on Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara calls it derabbanan, gives you a nafkamina, so you have to say everything else in us is a smachta. Okay. What I want to do, either today, or probably today and tomorrow, is the Ramban is relatively easy. Meaning the Ramban just says, look, I have one Gemara that tells me it's derabbanan, it tells me a nafkamina, it seems very, very much that there's no two ways about it, so every time it sounds like it's d'oraita, just read it off as an asmachta, that's his move. Right? That's easy. Rashi has a harder time, because Rashi, it's true that he has two Gemaras that plausibly call it d'oraita, one which says Amra Torah, and one where it says Rachmana Amar Idkar, but at the end of the day, he needs to contend with a Gemara on Lamed Aleph that says it's d'rabbanan, and there are consequences to it being d'rabbanan, such that you prioritize even Suffolk blowing the shofar over Vadai saying the Psukim. So what we got to do is figure out, then what does Rashi think? Right? How does Rashi deal with the Gemara on Lamed Aleph? Okay, that's what I want to deal with. Okay? So, I gave you like, I don't know, you know how many answers in the Achronim, because everyone wants to try to defend Rashi's position. But I want to hear what you think. And we'll go through the answers, right? First, I'll start with what you think. Give me different defenses of Rashi. If I know of an Achron that said that, then we'll look at it inside. And if not, we'll see the suggestions, and each of them will present a different model in terms of how we're supposed to understand the value for Rashi, the biblical value of saying the Psukim of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofar. And again, the first question, the Ramban, doesn't really bother me, right? Because Rashi thinks all three are Daraita, but as it's clear in the continuation of the Gemara on Rashi Shana Lamed Bet, Shofarot and Zichronot are derived from Zichron Trua, and Malchiyot is derived from the fact that in the context of Rosh Hashanah, the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, which for the Gemara is, oh, if I declare that I'm God, that must mean that in Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to say something about God being his essential self, which is king, or something like that. Right? So he can hold that they're all d'oraita and just hold that they come from different psukim. Right? That doesn't bother me so much. And on Alat Torah, Rashi's only explaining the word, Zichron Trua. He's not writing a halachic work, he's defining the phrase. Okay. So good. What do you think? How do we defend Rashi, who in the end of the day seems to think that it is biblical, giving pride of place to the Gemara on Ted Zion and the Gemara on Lamed Bet? How is he going to explain away the Gemara on Lamed Aleph that very explicitly says the Psukim are Derabanan, and therefore you give precedence to even a doubtful reading, blowing of the shofar over a certain recitation of the Psukim? What do you think? Right? How are we going to defend Rashi?
Akimura is just going with a specific case, and it doesn't still over the general halacha.
Okay, so what's the case?
It's one case where you have to decide this is where you should choose.
Okay, but the Gemara says Doraita versus Derabanan. Right? Meaning, it's not just that it makes you choose. It says the reason you choose is because blowing shofar is biblical and saying the psukim is derabbanan. Right? So there's a consequence and an explanation. It's a pretty, right? You really need to defend that somehow. So right? Push it farther. Right? Let's defend Rashi. As many defenses as you can get, or the ones that are most plausible to you. Meaning, okay, spell it out for me.
Saying the psukim themselves, saying the psukim is d'oraita, but which psukim and how you order it and how you say it in the full bracha, the bracha itself is d'rabbanan.
Very good. So one of the central answers that's found in the Achronim is some version, right? There are many versions of this, but some version of what Gavi said, right? Which is that maybe, right, you have to be careful and say that either, Gavi actually said two different things. One is that maybe the brachot are derabanan, and the psukim are deraita, and the Ramban is only assuming that the brachot mean the brachot and the psukim. The other is, right, Gavi, you really said two things, and the Achronim say both of what you just said, right? One is, maybe the brachot are derabanan, but the psukim are deraita, or, right, your second formulation was, saying something is deraita, what you say is derabanan. And therefore, even if you don't go to shul, you could come up with some pasuk that has to do with malchiyot, even if you don't remember the right psukim you're supposed to say. But saying something is indeed daraita. All the Gemara is saying is you don't need to go to shul because the exact formulation of which psukim is derabanan. Both formulations are found in the Achronim. So let's support Gavi answer one and Gavi answer two. Okay? So, the Divrei David. So who's the Divrei David? The Divrei David is the Rash, it's a Perush on Rashi la Torah, but it's written by someone quite famous, known as Reb David Halevi Segal, or Segal, better known for his work on Shulchan Aruch, which is the Taz, right? The Taz, right? So the Taz. The Taz also wrote a Perush on Rashi ala Torah called the Divrei David, okay? So he defends Rashi. He notes, called the Ramban, that calls out Asmachta. Right? The Ramban says everything is Asmachta. Proof, the Gemara in Lamed Dalet. So how does he defend Rashi? V'li nireh, divadai de'oraita, shetzarach lizkor al kol panim k'tzat me'elu. Elo shechachomim sidrum, v'kavu bracha aleihem. Saying the psukim is de'oraita, saying it in the context of brachot, is there Rabbanan? No one thinks that Shmona, the Amida, I shouldn't say Shmona Esrei, it's a nine bracha Amida in Musa. Fine. No one thinks that the brachot of the Amida are de'oraita. That's obvious. Visham b'gemara ayri le'inyan sidur brachot. The Gemara is only talking about the Amida, the brachot, shesafek imhem yodim otam. So the Divrei David says, right, is Gavi's answer number one. That Rashi thinks that saying the psukim is d'oraita, but obviously the brachot aren't, and all the Gemara on Rosh Hashanah is saying is that if you have a choice of going to a place where they're saying the Amida, right? You don't have a sitter, you don't know the Amida by heart, so if you don't go to shul, you won't hear the Amida. If you have a choice to hear the Amida or the shofar, go for the shofar. Because saying the Amida, saying the bracha, that's the Rabbanan. But the Taz says that according to Rashi, it's a given that when you go to the place where you're blowing the shofar, you're going to say some psukim, because saying psukim is d'oraita. It's only the bracha which are the Rabbanan. Right? So the Taz very clearly says, Gavi answer number one. Now, let me get the clearest articulation of Gavi number two. Okay, here's Gavi number two. Okay, many of the Achronim say it, but here's a particular clear formulation of Gavi number two. And that is from Rav Moshe Sternbach, who's still alive. He was the Av Beit Din of the Eda Charedis in Yerushalayim, originally a posek from, originally he's from South Africa. So in his Tshuvot, Tshuvot Van Hagot, one of his many Tshuvot anyways, Tshuvot Van Hagot, Chelek Dalet, Tshuvot Kuf Memei, he quotes this whole problem. The Rashi says Zichron Tshuva, and the Ramban says da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. And here he says, what's the answer for Rashi? Lefi zeh nireh. Seems to me that what? Sheberosh Hashanah af dileikur hachiyuv de min haTorah sagi bahaskar achad. Biblically, you've got to say something. You've got to have some tefillah, some pasuk, something that accompanies the shofar blowing. Mikol makom. And everything you add, there's a kiyum mi d'oraita. Meaning, d'oraita means say something. The more you say, the better it is. And that's why he says that the Gemara says, "V'toratcha katuv leimar, v'lo hevi apsukim yatsa," etc. And there he says, "V'lo domi l'doraita matzino chei gam kartanu kein zebe kama mekomot." He said, "But it's not a doraita." In the way we normally talk about doraita, because the exact way that we say it, that's derabanan. Obviously, you get a kiyum doraita, right? I mean, he goes farther. He says, "Mikom makom lechatchila yasker asar psukim dechol safa b'malchiyot zechonu v'sharav yeshbo kiyum nosaf v'amnam ikar kiyum mitzvah n'malchiyot hu baskar apsukim d'malchiyot zechonu v'shofro mikom makom gam amira that tefilah v'piyutim kiyum and sheyesh amalchiyot yeshba zek kiyum mitzvah ayom." So he says something, right? He goes a little bit farther than Gavi, and he says like this, right? He says, "Look, we don't mean that it's derabanan. We mean fundamentally it's d'oraita. But d'oraita, you just need to say something, anything, right? You need to accompany the shofar blast with some pasuk, some tefillah that recognizes malchiyot, zechronot, and shofrot. So when the Gemara says it's derabanan, it doesn't mean it's derabanan. It means that on a biblical level, you could be yotzei by saying anything. So you don't have to go find a shul where they're saying these precise amida, because you can fulfill the doraita obligation by saying literally anything that connects to the theme of malchiyot, that connects to the theme of zichronot, that connects to the theme of shofarot. What we mean by derabanan is that any formulation of how to say it, brachot, psukim, that's all derabanan. All you got to do on Rosh Hashanah on a biblical level is mention something about God's kingship, something about God's remembrance, and something about the shofar." But Rav Schoenbuch just adds a point that Gavi didn't say, which is that once you say that, you can even go farther and say that once I am davening the full Amida, and I am saying all the psukim, there is a kiyum d'oraita. Right, there is a kiyum d'oraita because it integrates into the d'oraita chiyuv, meaning the d'oraita chiyuv is to say something. The more I say, the better, and I do fulfill a mitzvah d'oraita. So when the Gemara says it's derabanan, it doesn't even mean that saying the Amida is derabanan. That's not true. Because once I say the Amida, it integrates into the chiyuv d'oraita, and it's an addition of the mitzvah d'oraita. All the Gemara means by saying that it's derabanan is that you could get away with less on a biblical level, and the obligation to do it through the Amida, through the recitation of Psukim, that is derabanan. And therefore, if I have to choose the exact structure of the Amida and the Psukim, or the Shofar, I'll always pick the Shofar. But saying something, praying in some way, reflecting verbally the themes of Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot on Rosh Hashanah in some way, shape, or form, that's biblical, and when you actually choose to do it through the Shmoneh Esrei, through the Amida, that actually integrates into the biblical Chiyuv. And therefore, he says, and he adds at the end of the Tshuva, that Venira Od, furthermore, the Etzim HaBakashot V'Atachanunim Sh'anu Mitpalim B'Yom Rashanu Avinu B'Shabbat Shamayim, the very prayers we say, Hi Gufa HaKara B'Malchuto. Why is that a Kiyum of Malchiyot? Because praying to God, is a recognition that God is King. Shehu amelech v'anu makirim b'malchuto. Right? By praying to God, we recognize that He's King. Umaran ha-ga'on de-brisk zatzal. I'm not sure if he means the brisker of or Reb Chaim. I think he means Reb Chaim, but I'm not really sure. Nahag b'Rosh Hashanah lomar kol ha-yom tihilim. Had the minhag to say tilim all day. L'vakesh rachamim b'sha'a shedineinu talui ve'omeid, to be praying while we're praying, right, while our judgment is being judged. V'ulai be'etzem ha'tfila gufa yesh gam kiyum ha'akar malchuto. Maybe tefillah itself is a fulfillment of this recognition of God's kingship. Shehi mitzvah na'yom de Rosh Hashanah. Right, that is the mitzvah. Meaning, the mitzvah is to, in some verbal way, recognize that God is King. When we say it's derabanan, we only mean that the precise way you say it is derabanan, but the value is d'oraita. And the more you say, the better it is, and everything will integrate into the d'oraita. And according to him, that's why either Reb Chaim or the Griz, used to say Tehillim all day, because every verbalization of God, of recognizing God, is an integration into the biblical value of recognizing that God is King. Ki arei be'emet mi shechayav mita melech levad yachol lechoneinu to. He said, why verbalizing? Right? Why is it that verbalizing that God is King and that God remembers us and talking much over, why is that part of the theme of Rosh Hashanah? Because he said, if you were chayav mita, right, if you were up for trial and you were already convicted, ein melech b'li'am, right, every king has a nation, and without a nation, he's not a king. The fact that we turn to God on the day of judgment, that shows that we recognize his king, and we hope that by turning to God and recognizing him as king, we hope that that will sweeten the judgment, and that recognition of God as king will be what leads us to a positive judgment. Right, so the Rav Moshe Sternbach says some version of what Gavi says, right? Which is, verbalizing in some way that God is king, that is essential to Rosh Hashanah, that's biblical. Because God is king, because he's judging you. And no matter how much you say, it'll always be integrated into the biblical obligation. The only thing the Gemara means when it says it's derabanan is that saying it in this way is derabanan. But no one ever entertained that you would go through Rosh Hashanah without in some way verbalizing the central themes of Rosh Hashanah, of Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofarot. Right? So, Gavi 1 and Gavi 2, or as we've put it, the Divrei David and Rav Moshe Sternbach, is either saying something, is saying the Psukim is Doraita, the Brachot is Darabanan, and the Gemara and Lamed Daled is talking about the Brachot, that's the Divrei David. Or Gavi number 2, which is Rav Moshe Sternbach, is saying something is Doraita, everything after that is Derabanan, but caveat is it'll integrate back into Doraita, but obviously once I've been Yotze, the minimal Chiyuv, if I have a choice between maximizing how I verbalize the themes of Rosh Hashanah or hearing the shofar, I'll go for the shofar, which the only way to fulfill the biblical obligation of shofar is blowing the shofar. Right, that's Rav Moshe Sternbach or Gavi 2. Okay, what else? Right, how else might we defend Rosh? And you know, I like the going through this just because, you know, yesterday I knew some of these, but I went and I collected a few more. Is I think each of the answers, right, cuts to the theme, the very nature of Rosh Hashanah. Right, because what you see from these answers emerging is Rav Moshe Sternbach is saying, right, davening is actually biblically part of how Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be celebrated, because it's essential to recognizing that God is King. The fact that the technicalities are derabanan doesn't change the fact that this is essential for Rashi to what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Right? Or the Divrei David. Saying psukim is essential. The brachot, okay, that's an addition. We frame the psukim. But saying something, saying psukim, that is essential, right? We're supposed to talk to God, say something. That is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Okay. How else, right? How else might we defend Rashi? I think we might have time for one more answer today. Maybe. Now, it could be that you're fine with this, that we've, we have two good answers from Gavi, which both are supported in the Achronim, but let's see if we can at least get out one more answer. There are at least two important answers that I want to see today. One is actually the earliest, I think, answer, which is the Ritva, which we've mentioned several times, which I think we have to see because it is, I think, the earliest solution to this problem. And I really like Rav Asher Weiss's solution, so I do want to see that also. But let's see which else we get today. Okay. Yuri, come on. Gavi's given us two answers that have been supported in the Achronim. Let's hear what you have to say. How might you defend Rashi?
How might I defend Rashi other than...
I know we've defended him in two good ways, so we're, you know, we've already knocked off two, so now your job is harder. You've got to think of an answer that we haven't already said. But okay.
Again, not like the room where yet saying something of our shofar is your honest deraita, and then what you say is your bachar.
Right. Something different than that. I know that Gavi took two of the more obvious answers. So let's see if you can get another one. I don't blame you if you can't. Right now we have to start getting a little bit more creative. But
I think for a second I'll be like,
you know what? How about this? Let's stop here for now. We've done two of the more obvious answers. Right? You know, I'll just show you that the Gur Aryeh has a variation on this. I want you to think about it for tomorrow. And for tomorrow, I definitely want you to read the Ritva, because the Ritva, even though he doesn't say he's defending Rashi, is, in the end of the day, the earliest possible defense for Rashi. Okay? And it's critical that you know this Ritva in general, so definitely read the Ritva inside. And I think Rav Asher Weiss's answer, you know, as he notes, none of the other Achronim said it, but it's a really good answer. It's a really, really good answer. So try to read that inside. If you don't read all the other Achronim, that's totally fine. But think about it for tomorrow, right? But let's just quickly look at the Gur Aryeh, right? The Gur Aryeh is the Maharal's Perish on Rashi, Al HaTorah. He also brings this problem. And he says, "V'nirei lai she'ena b'raita mefarish ha'katuv d'chzir z'chzir z'chua she'yomar piskei z'chon ha'shofro d'vadim mid'rabbananim," etc. You know, actually, no. He just notes the machloket Ramban and Rashi. He prefers Ramban. I'll skip over his interpretation of Rashi. Let's see. You know, okay, I'll give you one more answer, which some of the Achronim give. This is actually the least interesting of all the answers, but it doesn't require much elaboration once I tell it to you. So some of the Achronim just say, it's a machloket asugya. That's all. On Lamed Bet, it's Lamed Bet and Ted Zion, the only person talking is Rabbi Kiva. Right? Rabbi Kiva is the author of the statement on Ted Zion, or Rabbi Kiva is the author of the statement on Lamed Bet. He's not the author of the statement on Lamed Aled. So some of the Acharonim just say, it's a machloket asugyot. Right? It's a machloket asugyot. And the Ramban paskin like the Gemara on Lamed Aled, and Rashi paskined like what he understood to be Rabbi Kiva, which is Ted Zion and Lamed Bet. Right? That's a very, not Lamdish answer, it's a very easy answer. Which is to say that the machlok is Rashi Ramban, is a machlok Rabbi Kiva. According to Rashi, is a machlok Rabbi Kiva, and I think Rabbi Eliezer. That's all. Right? Very easy. So that's a third answer. It's a very easy answer. It's a very smooth answer. It doesn't require much conceptual analysis. It just, the downside, obviously, is that you would have to say that Rashi would think that if you had a choice between blowing the shofar and saying the brachot, you actually would wouldn't choose blowing the shofar necessarily, right? Because in order to say it's a machloket asugyot, you actually have to assume that Rashi would reject the halachic conclusion of Daf Lamed Bet. And that, you know, that's quite a move. But I did see that in at least one, right? Achron. One second. Where did I find it? I'll look at it tomorrow. I think it was in this long piece that I put from the Maamar Mordechai, but I have to check if that's where I put it from. But that is the third answer. Okay, but tomorrow I want you to try to read the Ritva. Which, let me make sure that it made it onto the sheet. Yes, it did. It's the second, right? The Ritva and the Rav Asher Weiss are the two final sources on the sheet. Make sure you see those. If you have time to see some of the other Acharonim, great. But the Ritva has far-reaching implications way beyond our sugya, so it's worth knowing. And Rav Asher Weiss, I think, is maybe the most lumdish read of this Gemara, but I think it really adds a lot to the understanding of the sugya according to Rashi. So I think it's important to see. If you want to look at the other Achronim, great. So you guys are okay with 12 tomorrow? That's okay?
12 instead of 11.
Yeah, I think tomorrow I need to pick up my. I think I need to pick up Ezra. So that's usually between like 11:30 and 12. So like 12-ish, maybe a little bit earlier. I'm not really sure.
That's fine. We'll be in debate. So
okay. So we'll be in touch then. You know, if 11 ends up working out, I'll let you know. But in the meantime, we'll assume Shear, and that's the sources I would focus on. And okay, great. I'll talk to you guys later.
I'm sorry.